Praise Lord. I don't know if you heard, but in California, they're trying to pass a bill that tries to limit the voice of the preacher. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. They may try, but they're not going to be successful. Praise the Lord. And even if they were successful, they weren't going to stop us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say, well, what does that have to do with us? That's California. Well, if you've noticed, things will always start with precedent. And then it spreads, amen. I remember a few years ago, it was actually quite a few years ago now, I remember the first time I opened a paper and there was an article about somebody was mad because they couldn't, some man was mad because he couldn't use a woman's restroom. I remember that, and I remember thinking, like, dear Lord, is this guy crazy? Who would ever even think this is okay? Now look at where we're at. It always starts with one little thing, but praise the Lord, God is good. And though the devil's trying, he's trying real hard, he isn't going to be successful. Praise the Lord. He may get what seems a few victories, but we know that none of that's lasting. Amen. So we thank God for what he's doing. Amen. And we stand in faith because we are people of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. We know that God's got good things for us. He's got good things for his church. Amen. And what's going to happen, I'll just give you a little preview of what's coming up in this nation. Praise the Lord. But what you're going to see is you'll see things get harder and harder. You'll see this. This is going to happen. Doesn't mean that God's not working or he's not here, but you're going to see things getting harder and harder because what's going to happen is people are going to be forced to decide. They're going to be pushed one way or the other. They'll either be pushed into the churches. Praise the Lord. Yeah. or they won't, but they'll have to make a decision. And, you know, God isn't going to, he's going to have a powerful church, and he's going to come back for a glorious church. So we don't get sad about these things, because guess what? You're in the right place. Amen. You're in a place that preaches the word, and because you're hooked up to the word, you are safe. You're protected. God will protect you and yours. Amen. Your household is safe from the impending doom of the nation, of the world. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. You know it's all going to come to a fiery end anyways. You do know that, right? So we might as well just get excited while we're here because God's going to do great things through us. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We're not going to start the service off on a bad note. That's an exciting thing. We need to stand in faith and know what God has for us. Amen. Which leads me into today's service. It is an adaptation from last night's service. So if you were in last night's service, if you watched last night's service, some of the things today will sound familiar. But God has taken it a little bit further in me. I just left last night's service and I was like, man, and it's not because it was something that I did, but just the revelation of the knowledge that came out last night was just such wonderful, and it blessed me so greatly. I said to the church last night, it was probably my favorite service I've ever preached, and consequently, it wasn't the easiest service I've ever preached. It's actually quite difficult on the flesh. I left there quite tired, quite wore down. Sometimes there's different effects when you minister the word. You can have where it literally feels like you've been dragging swamp, you know what I mean? And then there's sometimes where it just flows nice and easy, but the revelation was there. And so because the revelation that was there, I know God was there. Amen. And so I don't need to know about the rest of the stuff. Sometimes I'll get tired. Sometimes I won't. Praise the Lord for it. Whatever happens, well, we'll just go with God anyways. Amen. But today's message, I even added to the title, last night's message was expectations. Today's message is confident expectations. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Confident expectations. And we're going to be talking today about expectations that we are supposed to have as Christians. Not expectations that I have for you, not expectations you have for someone else, but expectations that we have of God. Amen. And so this is a really important message. This is really important to our lives. This message, you know, I say this often, will change our lives, but really this message will change your life. I mean, when I say it the other times, I really mean it then too, but this message, along with all those other messages, will change your life. And aren't you glad that we have more than one message that will change our lives? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, as I was preparing this morning, I was spending some time with my wife, and we were talking a little bit, and she said, you know, she said this to me, and I figured I'd write this down. She goes, today is the last day of June, which means half the year is gone today. Half of 2019 is gone. And that got me thinking about something. What'd you get you thinking about, Pastor Jeff? I know you're wondering, right? What has separated this year for you from any other year? Has there been anything? Or does this year look just like it always has? And see, and the reason I bring that up and the reason I thought about that is because look how fast time goes. I mean, a whole half a year is gone just like that. In a blink of an eye, it's gone. And see, what we can do is we can spend our time as Christians. We can spend our time never really meeting the mark, just spending every day, you know, just going to work and just going through the motions and just living life. And pretty soon You know what? Years have slipped by, and you're looking back and you're thinking, what have I done? And see, that's not the life that God has intended us to live. God has intended us to live a life of hope and expectation with a chance or an understanding that he wants to do great things with us. And so every year, every following year should be better than the previous year. Every year that we step into should be better than the one we just stepped out of. Amen? And for so many in the world, that's just not so. So for so many in the church, that's not so. And the reason it's not so for so many in the church is because so many in the church are living just like so many in the world. See, if you want to have something different than the world, you have to live differently than the world. You have to come from a different standpoint. Praise the Lord. I've been talking for years about the importance of being in church, and we still have people that have been with us for years that still haven't got that. They still haven't got the importance of being in church. You know, my wife is talking bold about these things. They still haven't understood. There's people, and there's maybe sitting in this room today, that still don't understand that when we bring a guest minister in, that there's importance to that. That God is doing something great. And see, people don't have that understanding, and they're still living like the world. They're still just like, well, you know, I'd rather be distracted by this or that. And you understand that there's reasons, there's times, there's seasons, there's different things. But I'm talking about in general, how do we live our lives? How do we receive from God? What do we expect from God? Do we expect God to move on us? Well, if we expect God to move on us, then we need to expect that we need to move with him. We need to go with him, because God isn't sitting there forcing us to go. You can sit there and wait for God to force you to go, but he won't force you to go. You are going to go with him or you are not going to go with him, but the choice is yours. God is going somewhere good, and he wants to take you there with him. Amen. Praise God. I said God is going somewhere good, and he wants to take you there with him. But if you decide that you are going to do things the way you've always done them, or like the world does them, and not the way that God does them, then you will not have the goodness that God wants to lead you into. It's plain, it's that simple. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no other ways around it. You either follow God into glory, or you stay behind in what is not glory. Everything that is not glory. Hallelujah. That's where the devil is. Yeah. You want to know why the devil can wreak havoc in people's lives and Christians' lives? Because they ain't following God. They ain't going forward into the things of God. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. And so we need to use these moments, days like this. You know, this is the halfway through the year. Let's get into something good for the rest of the year. Amen. Let's just determine to do it. Let's just purpose to do it. So today we're talking about confident expectations. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to start here. Let's turn to Psalm 119, 18. Psalm 119, 18. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the book of Psalms. I especially love the chapter 119. It's just such an awesome, awesome chapter. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look what this prayer is. Look, see, this is the, you know, you get on your knees and you pray for many, maybe. This is what you should be praying right here. Praise God. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. In other words, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your word. You know what this is? This is a prayer of somebody who has expectations from God. This is a prayer of somebody who says, you know what? God has something for me. God's got good things for me. Open my eyes, because the first thing that he recognized, the first thing the psalmist recognizes here is that there's wondrous things in your word. There's wondrous things that you have hidden that I haven't seen yet. Open my eyes that I may see them. Do you know every single day when I get in the word, every single time I open the word and I start studying, I see something I haven't seen before. Whether or not I may be reading a scripture I've read 1,000 times, and it does not matter, because God has wonderful things in there that I don't know even exist yet. Aren't you glad that God is far more eternal than we are? Amen. He's far more full. But see, we get into these things if we decide to get off the surface. How many of you know, have you ever been on the ocean? Is there anyone here that's been on the ocean? Is there anybody, okay, if you haven't been on the ocean, is there anyone here who's seen the ocean? Praise the Lord. Okay, if you haven't seen the ocean, is there anyone here who's seen pictures of the ocean? So you have an idea what the ocean looks like. Now, if you go and look at a big body of water like the ocean, you sit there, or you can even, listen, if you haven't seen the ocean, you haven't seen pictures of the ocean, and you say, I don't even know how, just go 10 miles down the road, and there's a huge body of water down there called Lake Erie, and it looks a lot like the ocean when you're standing on the shore. Amen? So you go down there, and you look out, and you don't see anything. You just see flat. But how many know that if you took away all that water, if you took away everything that was in there, man, there'd be a lot of things down there that you ain't seeing. And see, that's what the word is. Amen? This is the ocean. This is the surface of the ocean. But man, what happens is when you get the Holy Spirit, or when you start following the Holy Spirit, you get a wetsuit. and you get some scuba gear, and you get to dive, and you get to start going into things. Amen. Bible says the deep calls unto deep. You get to get drawn into this world of God. Amen. And you start finding out who God really is, and what God really is, and what God's really about. And you start seeing, wait a minute, this word is true. You know, I know enough. I don't know a ton, but I know enough now to know I can't turn back from this. I know enough because I know how true. Like, I get in there and I'm like, woo, this is deep. And sometimes it's really deep. And you're like, I don't know if I can go there. I need special gear to get down that deep. Well, that comes in time. Amen. But that's exactly the way it is. So the word. So if you read the word your entire life, if you just read it, you can float around on the surface of the water. You can float around. Oh, you go a long ways on the ocean, can't you? But there's so much more below. Do you know that we know more about space than we know the depths of our ocean? Why? Because that's how deep it is. Well, it's the same thing with the word of God. Amen. We need to get in there and dig in. Well, praise the Lord. That's free, no charge. Amen. Lord, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. See, this is somebody who has expectation that when they open this word, that there's stuff in here, praise God, that they don't even know. Wondrous things. What's wondrous? Well, wondrous is a word that we use when we really want to put an exclamation on the sentence, right? You don't say, you know, if you sit down in a meal, it was just okay. You don't get on Yelp and review, oh, it was wondrous. Amen. But when you review it was wondrous, you wish you had more stars than the 5 stars they give you to give it. Amen. Glory to God. So there's wondrous things in the word of God. There's wonderful things in the depths of God's ocean and the things that he wants to get into. And he says, if you follow me, I'll take you there. If you follow me, I'll show you things. And this is what the scripture is really telling us, is that if you follow God, if you let him open your eyes, he will show you things that you can't even imagine. You can't even explain. Amen. And it'll get you hooked too. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is confident expectation. Faith is confident expectation. Praise the Lord. Faith is what is supposed to separate us from the world. So faith is confident expectation in God. That's what it is. It is not, okay, I'm not, it is not that I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Catholic. That is not what faith is. Faith is confident expectation in God. Biblical faith is what we're talking about. Some people call those things their faith, and that's what their faith is. They're not even floating on the ocean. They're in a puddle, thinking they're in the ocean. You know what I'm saying? Well, praise the Lord. So faith is what's supposed to separate Christians from the rest of the world. Amen. Amen. Faith is a tangible thing. Yeah. It is what is meant to define us. How do you know a person who is Christ and a person who isn't? The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. And really what that means is you will know them by their faith. Yeah. You will know them by what they believe. Yeah. Of God, how they trust in God. You will know a person of faith when you see one. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we often think about that. You know, I remember growing up, there was you would think that a man or woman of God was, they were the example of faith. Amen. And it wasn't just because they wore a certain outfit, but because they spent time with God. In fact, I remember we would take, and you probably know too, you when you got a prayer you really need answered, you don't even just pray it yourself. What do? You go see, you go find a pastor. You go. I remember going to any church just to find somebody who was a man or woman of God just to pray for me. I remember doing this. Well, praise the Lord. Why? Because we know faith. We know that should be where faith is. That this person spent time with God. But this is what's supposed to define all of us. We're all supposed to be people that are defined by our walk with God. Are defined by our hunger and our desire for God. But really, our expectations of God is what defines that. What shows us that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith is a tangible thing. Faith is not something that we just have. It's something that we use. It's something that carries us. It's something that strengthens us. It's something that emboldens us. It's something that makes us alive. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Word of God will quicken our flesh. It will make it alive. Hallelujah. The Word of God, this sea of things here will quicken. It will make your flesh alive. So if your flesh is dying, you need to get the Word in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith, simply put, is your expectations of God. What do you expect of God? We need to have expectations of God. Amen. You know, some people have expectations of their neighbor, or expectations of their friends, or expectations of their spouses, or their family. But you can't have expectations. And if you have expectations in people, they'll always fail you. Well, praise the Lord. If you expect me to be a certain thing for you, I'm gonna fail you at some point because I can't live up to your standard for you. Amen. I can't do it because I'm not you. I don't understand how you always think. Amen. Praise the Lord. I can't your standard, and nor will anyone else. But we need to find out about God and have expectations for Him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to go to Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm going to go there in the Amplified. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this is a scripture that we become well acquainted with around here. Amen? For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. Amen. Hallelujah. God has given us a hope for the future. What that word hope means, whenever you see that in Scripture, it generally means the word expectation. And here, if you look that word hope up, that's exactly what it means. It's expectation in your final outcome. Not expectation of evil. He just told us that. Amen? I know last night I kind of said it like this. Have you ever had somebody, have you ever heard somebody say, or have you ever said to somebody, if you only knew how much, dot, dot, dot. If you only knew how much I loved you. If you only knew how much I cared. If you only knew how much I think about, whatever. Have you ever heard that? Yeah. That is what that's what this scripture is saying. Yeah. God is saying to us through the prophet Jeremiah, he's saying, if you only knew how much I have for you. I have plans. I think about you. The creator of all heaven and earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We got leaders in this country. Think about your favorite musical artist or something like that. Think of your favorite actor. Guess what? They haven't thought one thought about you, have they? They haven't thought anything about you. They might have thought, you know, when they got a dollar, well, somebody sent that dollar, but they don't think about really who it came from or care to find out. But God created everything. He created everything. The most amazing things that are out there, the things that we have yet to discover, God created them. He knows, and He's thinking about you. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it means something to me. Yeah, because who am I? Amen? You know, the President of the United States, you love him or hate him, it doesn't matter. He's not thinking about me. He's not thinking about, his thought is not on me. He's not thinking, well, how can I help Jeff Mitchell out today? He's not thinking about that. God is. God, and God is bigger. Yes, God is bigger than even Donald Trump. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? God is big. He's a big God, and He's thinking about each and every one of us. He has plans for us. He has a purpose for us. And in that, it's to give us hope. It's to give us expectation. His plans, His thoughts are to give us an expectation. We need to have expectations for our future of good. Not just expectations, but expectations of good. You know, this is why I always run on this people who always think that God's giving and taking away and destroying lives and all this stuff, and His divine providence is pulling life from one person and giving it to another, and, you know, throwing car accidents and deer and everything else in our way. You know, deer and cars, you know, that was what I'm talking about. You just have deer walking in your life. That'd be pretty cool, though, if you're just like hanging out and deer come up to you and just, well, praise the Lord, anyways. Maybe you don't care about that, but I think it would be cool if a deer just walked up to me. Yeah, thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But God, He's not just controlling all these things in life. Amen? But He does have a plan and a purpose for us that if we follow Him, He wants to lead us into that. Amen? But one of the most important things that we find is that we only get there through our faith. And our faith is our expectation of God. It's our expectation of good. I love that the word God and good are only one letter apart. You just put another O in there. Oh, hey, it makes God good. Amen? Hallelujah. That's all you got to do. You just got to just expand it out a little bit. Amen? God and good. Whenever I think of the word good, I always think of God immediately. Whenever I preach it, I almost, it just in my mind, it just happens like that. Amen? Why? Because I have an expectation of God. Because I have an expectation of good. Or I have an expectation of good because I have an expectation of God. God only wants to do good things in your life. He is not. Now, God will allow you to go through things. Amen. He will allow you to wander in the wilderness a little bit so that things are built in you. We're going to see that today. But He always gives us a way out. He always gives us a way of escape. He always gives us a way up. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're in the plan of God, there should be expectation. If you are not in expectation, you need to ask yourself, am I even in the plan? If you can't expect good things in your life, or if you don't expect good things in your life, then I'm going to tell you right now, you are not in the plan of God. Or you don't know what the plan of God even is. You haven't connected to the word that's being preached. You haven't connected to God even, if you don't have expectation of a good plan. Amen. There's a lot of Christians that live outside of this. They have not got into the good plan of God. They haven't. They haven't. What's the plan of God? Well, the plan of God is encompasses many things, but we know by Jeremiah 29:11 that He gives us hope in our final outcome. That when we get through to the other side, that there's an expectation of good on the other side. Amen. And we know that that's in the plan, and so that's what we need to follow. Amen. Amen. All praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go ahead and turn to James 5:11. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't read it yet. Just turn there. Because you'll probably get there before I do. Amen. Praise God. James 5:11. Okay. And while you're there, I'm going to read to you Job 3:25. Okay. Job 3:25. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Job was considered a righteous man. He was a man that lived without covenant. He didn't know God, only by what he saw around him. Amen. He didn't have a Bible to read, but he believed God and he trusted God to a degree. But what's he say here? For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. This was Job's expectation. Yeah. Well, why? Because if you aren't, listen, you aren't expecting it, you aren't going to fear it.
Right. That's good.
Praise the Lord. Is anyone here fearing an alien parasite growing on the inside of them about to pop any minute? Has anyone got that fear? Why? Because you don't expect that it would ever happen. Right? Now, if it happened, it would kind of throw your mind through a loop, wouldn't it? But you're not expecting that to happen. So it doesn't happen, right? But this is what we see with Job. We see that for the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. The thing that he thought about, this is why we don't live in fear. Fear is to take us down a road that's away from God, to take us out of the expectation of good and to put us in that place where we don't know what's going to happen. That's exactly what fear is meant to do. God has not intended these things to be so. God, but we see that. Now let's go to James 5:11, because that's where I told you to turn. Amen. Now, what's it say here? We see this in James. It says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure." Ooh, we count them blessed who endure. We say they're blessed. They endured through the trial, right? Amen. They're blessed. That's what he says. "You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended of the Lord by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Wow. So now here, James is referring to Job, and he's saying, you've seen the end intended by the Lord. This was not intended by the Lord. The end of Job is what was intended by the Lord. How do we know that? James told us. If James told us, James could have said, well, you've seen the beginning that was intended by the Lord. He didn't say that. He said, you've seen the end that was intended by the Lord. What's the end intended by the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's not found in the first few chapters of Job. It's probably found in the end of Job. What he's saying here is that you've seen the outcome, the final outcome. Remember, we just read that. Go back to Jeremiah 29:11 real quick. "For I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans of welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope in your what? Final outcome." So the final outcome of Job, go back to 5:11, James 5:11. Praise the Lord. "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end, the final outcome." See, God had a plan for Job, amen? And that plan was, the intent of that plan was through the perseverance of what would happen, amen? Praise the Lord. Now, we know if you study the book of Job, we understand that God, the King James Version says that God put these things on him. But that doesn't make sense according to the rest of Scripture. And what we understand is the translators of the King James Version of the Bible were what we call Calvinists. They were people that believed in predestination. And so everything that they translated from that standpoint of predestination, that God makes everything happen. But we know when you study the Word, we know, especially now, we know that that's not true. There's some Christians that still believe that, but those are Christians that are missing something pretty serious. Because God isn't just predestining everybody to their outcome. The Bible says we're not going to teach on that today. But so we understand Job, but we see that what happened was it was the devil that put things on Job. That was very clear in the book of Job that it was the devil who did those things. Amen. God put limitations on the devil, but it was the devil nonetheless. Amen? And so we see the end. Now we need to go look at the end of Job, right? Praise the Lord. But I want to say this here. You cannot endure without expectation. See, even in Job's lack of expectation leading up to it, Job still had an expectation, and you see him enduring through the book of Job. You see him enduring till the end because he had an expectation that God was just, and God would end up doing would do what's right in Job's life. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so now we're going to go to Job 42:10. Instead of having you turn there, we'll just go there. You write it down, look at it later if you want to. Amen? And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. This is in the end of Job. Indeed, we see the end of Job, the end intended by the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the end of Job? Did James not say that? Did I confuse it? I mean, did I pull something out? Was it sleight of hand or anything? No, I showed you the scripture. The end intended by the Lord, which was not the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. That's what a lot of Christians who are in error, that want to be foolish and remain foolish, that's what they claim. And they can keep claiming that. They're doing the same thing as Job did in Job 3:25. They're greatly fearing, and they're not having the right expectation of God. Praise the Lord. And so we see here the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord restored Job's losses. Everything he lost, he restored when he prayed for his friends. When he took the focus off himself and put it on someone else. That's when he did it. When he took the focus off of when Job stopped crying and whining about his situation, and he started looking at other people and said, you know what? They're worse off than I am. I need to pray for them. Yeah, because they don't even know God like I do. Praise the Lord. So he prayed his friends, and indeed the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Praise the Lord. So we see things here in Scripture. We're starting to see things that the right expectation is important. Amen? Why do people, when trial come against them, why do they fall into sorrow and misery? They do it every time because their expectations are off. Yeah. If your expectation is for the end, it doesn't matter what the middle will look like. If your expectation is that the end will be good, then you will persevere through that. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Does anyone here have a job? Yeah. Glory to God. You have a job, you go to work. Sometimes work isn't easy, is it? Sometimes work will come against you a little bit, won't it? But why do you keep going? Because you have expectation that at the end, you get something, right? You get paid, right? If they said to you, listen, you have no hope for expectation at the end, guess what you stop doing? You stop working. Yeah, you're not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to go to work anymore if they're going to stop paying me, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we have expectations. See, if you don't have the right expectation, you're going to go through it a lot differently. Why do you persevere through the week? Why do you persevere through the life with expectation that it'll be better? Amen? Why do you work harder at something with expectation than on the other side? But see, with God, that's the way it always is, that we always should have an expectation of going higher. And so that we know if we're following God, then we don't have to worry about all this stuff, because no matter what comes at us, no matter what comes against us, the expectation is always good. Why? Because Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that his plan is for peace and not of evil, for welfare, which is to help us, to give us a hope and expectation of good things in the end. Amen? The final outcome. Well, the final outcome is not always the end of your life. Job's trial, I've heard theologians, amen, I've heard theologians say that Job's trial lasted about 9 months. 9 months! Job lived out the rest of his days in twice as much. And Job was already blessed to begin with. I said Job lived out the rest of his days in twice as much more than being as much as he was blessed before. And what he was blessed with before is probably more than anyone in this room has. Actually, if you study Job, what he had before was more than what we all have collectively. Amen? So Job was a wealthy man. He was taken care of. He had servants. He had lands. He had all these things. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we know Job was blessed. In the end, he was twice as blessed. Glory to God, because that's what God's expectation, or that's what the expectation was of God. That's what he wanted to do. Amen. And so we understand this, that we're given these examples to endure ourselves. Because there are things that will come against us in life. But if our expectation is not of good, we will fail. We will get to that place where we just give up. Why do people give up hope? It's always because they don't have the right expectation. Amen. Either God's true or God's not. I'm glad you said that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because you wanted me to go to Numbers 23. Actually, I got it here marked. I wasn't planning on going there. I was actually planning on this for myself to study this out later. Numbers 23, 19. Praise the Lord. Can we pull that up? I don't know if we can. Yeah. Hey, look how good they are. We can do it just like that. We're going to go to verse 22, I think. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, praise the Lord, and will he not make it good? He has spoken and he will make it good. Praise the Lord. Now go to verse 20 because this is really interesting. I just saw this for the first time recently. Behold, I have received a command to bless. This is a man speaking. I have received a command to bless. We have all received a command to be a blessing. I have received a command to bless. God has blessed, he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I can't change that. But see, you will not move in the things of God if you withhold because you have expectations that are low. See, the reason that we can give out in faith, the reason that my wife and I can tithe, I looked down at our offering envelopes. Last night, I had my wife had to have a rest night, and so I went there. I went to church, and I had to put in the offering, and usually she does it. And as I was putting the money in the envelope, I thought, dear Lord, this is what we give every week. And I remember a time thinking that, man, I wish we could give this a month. But see, the Lord, how do we do it? Because our expectation is not on the things that we have or not the things we have coming in. Our expectations are on God, who promises that he will always supply, that he gives seed to the sower, that as you put out, he'll put back in. See, you have to have expectation or you'll never, you know, somebody who never gives is somebody who doesn't have any expectation of good from God. Yeah, amen. Somebody who doesn't tithe is somebody who doesn't have expectation of good of God. They don't have expectation that he will fulfill his word. That's something we need to change. I'm not saying the tithe. I'm talking about the believing God at his word. Whatever his word says, those are the things that we need to believe him on. We need to have expectation that God will, because he's not a man that he should lie. I love it says he's not a man. You can stop it, right? Let's go back there to verse 19. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm preaching my time away and stuff I wasn't even planning on. God is not a man. I'd like to put a big exclamation point right after that. You know, it's not lying. It's not changing the scripture. It's just focusing on one part of it. God is not a man. So stop looking at God the way you look at men. See, you don't trust other men and women, praise the Lord, because they've given you reason not to trust them. But we don't look at God that way because God is not a man. He is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. That, you know, the word repent means change his mind. God hasn't changed his mind. He's not, maybe I messed up here. Maybe I didn't get this right. You think God, the creator of everything, is sitting in heaven? See, people who think God's doing that, well, praise the Lord. God, people that think God's doing that are people that don't understand God. Amen? They look at God as a man. Oh, praise the Lord. Now let's get back to the regular scheduled programming. Romans 1:17 in the Amplified. For in the gospel, now this word gospel, I brought this out last night. I'm not going to focus on it a lot today, but that word gospel literally means good news. The Bible's called good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ is called good news. It's the good news. Good news isn't bad. We don't confuse bad and good, do we? Right? We know when something's bad and we know when something's good. Amen? Praise the Lord. A friend of mine went to have sushi one day at a sushi restaurant. He had a poke bowl or something like that. And he said he walked in and it smelled bad. He ate it anyways. But he walked in and it smelled bad. You know when fish, fish doesn't always smell good, but you know when it's gone bad. It's not real hard to tell. You know, you ever have your windows down in the summertime and you drive by something that didn't make it all the way across the road? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's been sitting there for a few days, hot in the sun. You know, there's no question whether that's good or bad, right? Especially if you're talking about deer. Now, I have a lot of deer hunters in my family and my friends and stuff like that, and I like to eat deer meat. You know what I mean? But if it smelled like that, I ain't going to eat it. You know what I'm saying? It's real easy to know what bad and good is. So this is the good news. This isn't bad news. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes. Righteousness is right living, the way of living rightly in his eyes, with God ascribes is revealed. So in the gospel, the way to live right is revealed. Wow. Can you imagine that? That's why if we are of those people that constantly change the word, you know what I mean? And say, well, God must not have meant this, or he's changed it now. We look at things differently, you know, because society's changed and all this stuff. That's why people who live that way, they live off wherever they're not living in good. Amen. Both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. Amen. What the scripture is saying is that we need to live by faith. And faith is a growing thing. Faith moves to faith. One level of faith moves to another level of faith. Amen. We should grow in faith. So I know what you're asking. You're like, what is the way of faith, right? What is the way of faith? How do we know the way of faith? Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the way. Amen. Then it tells us here that the just shall live by faith. So if Jesus is the way, and the just shall live by the way of faith, right, what is the way that the people should live? The way of Jesus. Right? Right? Yeah. The way of Jesus must be the way of faith. Right. What was the way of Jesus, does anyone know? Expectation. Yeah. Jesus always expected good. He always expected provision. He always expected ability. So much so that as a man, he walked on water. He didn't walk on water as a ghost. He didn't walk on water as a spirit. He walked on water as a flesh and blood man like you or I. Human, hallelujah, like you or I. That's how he did it, praise the Lord. Glory to God. It doesn't say that, but probably all the women were following him. The guys were the ones in the boat going, is this really? Because guys are like that, you know what I mean? Guys are always like, I don't know. I don't, you know, guys are supposed to be leading the family, and for some stinking reason, guys are the ones that aren't leading at all. It's the women that are leading the family. Why? Because it's mostly the women that are in churches. Well, that's the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's just, that's free, no charge. But so the way of faith is the way, the way of Jesus is the way that we are supposed to walk. Amen? This is the way of faith. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. And we're doing a lot of Amplified today. But I wanted to bring stuff out. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. Amen. Being the proof of things that we do not see. Yeah. Amen. Because the Bible tells us that, you know, if somebody hopes for what they, one doesn't hope for what they see. They only hope for things that they don't. They only expect, that, you know what I mean, praise the Lord. Yeah. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it is the title deed. You know, about the title deed as far as cars, I'm going to talk about it from a different, because another example came to me today. Imagine you had to have a surgery. Has anyone ever been in surgery? Anyone known a surgeon? Well, we're not going to do it on this road again. We'll just stay. You know what a surgery is, but we want surgeons to be highly credentialed, don't we? We don't want, you know, we don't want to come in and find out, hey, I'm a surgeon. I got my degree from Bob's House of Surgery. Praise the Lord. We're not, that's it. You know what I mean? That's it. You know, we want them highly credentialed. But what if you're standing there, you're laying there, you've got your gown on and you got your gown on and your hat on, you know, the hair hat that they give you, and they got all the things hooked up to you, and they're pushing you into surgery, and the surgeon walked up to you and he said, you know, it's like, they gave me a degree, but I'm not really sure of it. I think maybe I should go back to school for a few more years or something. Because we got to take this thing out of you, but I'm not really sure how to go about it. And I'm kind of freaking out here, man. I really don't know what I'm supposed to do. I know that I'm a surgeon. I know that it says Surgeon Bob on my shirt. But I just don't know. You know, I don't know if I can fully do everything. And this surgery might take a while. And I don't know. You know, I didn't get enough sleep last night and all this stuff. You wouldn't be real confident going into that surgery. As you're fading out, you'd be like, no. You know, because they put the gas on you, and you just, I've been there. I've been in surgery before, and it's like they're talking to you, and then all of a sudden they're gone. Praise the Lord, and you wake up. But if you had time to say all that, see, but that's the way Christians are. Christians have been given a title deed. Your faith is the title deed. It's the promise that God, all heaven, is going to back you up whatever direction you move towards God. It doesn't matter where you got to go. As long as it's towards God, they're going to back you up. But Christians are like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Christians, like seriously, I should just come up with a rule. I wouldn't have a church very long. But come up with a rule that every time I have one of my people say to me, I don't know, who's been with me for a little while, we should have a slapping stick. Praise the Lord. Yeah. When we were in Massachusetts last year, I call it a tickle stick. It's actually, they call it a tither's rod. I call it a tickle. I'll tell you why I call it a tickle stick. It'll make a lot more sense then. It sounds bad now, but. So a tithing rod, I actually started making one as a joke. I want to put it up, mount it up here somewhere. But a tickle stick is a long rod. A tithing rod is a long rod. At one end of it has a brass knob, and at the other end of it had a feather. Literally what it was for is the ushers, or the ones who collected the tithe, that's why they call it a tither's rod, would carry it around. And if somebody in church fell asleep, they'd start tickling with the feather. This is a true story. This is the way they used to do it. And if a kid was misbehaving, they turned it around to the knob on the other end, and they whacked him on the head with it. Yeah. The women got the no, they all got if you were asleep, you got tickled in the. But anyways, you get whacked with the, and you wouldn't want to get whacked with that. But that's what we need sometimes in the church: wake people up, say, hey, wait a minute here. Listen, we've been given faith, we have been given the assurance, the title deed, we have been given the degree, we have passed. If we believe in God, if we have received Jesus, we have passed the test. We don't got to go back for a few more years of school. God, the Holy Spirit is with us, He is in us, and He is guaranteeing when we step out in faith. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, we see that's good, right? We don't want to be the surgeon who questions it at the surgery. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me. I got to get moving because I really want to get through this. Romans 1:5-1, because we got some good stuff in here. Say, man, it's been good already, Pastor Jack. I know it has, hasn't it? We got even better stuff to get into, though. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, the word justified means freed. We are freed by faith. We are freed by faith. We are freed by faith. Hallelujah. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we understand that it came through Jesus, but it's through faith in Jesus that guarantees us that. How can we say that? Because people who aren't in Jesus aren't freed. They don't have freedom. Amen? Praise the Lord. Through whom we also access faith. We have also access by, or through whom we also have access by faith into this grace. Hallelujah. In which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so we see that we have access into the grace, the ability of God. We have access to it by faith. It's faith that gets us in. What is faith? It's the expectation, the confident expectation of good things from God. The confident expectation. We have, let's see if I can reword this. Through whom we have access by the confident expectation of God, in God, into His ability, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do we stand in trial? We have to access something. We access it by faith. We stand in that place. That's how we do it. We have to access it first. If we don't access it, listen, you can believe in Jesus but not believe in what He did for you. And what I mean by it is like all the things that He's provided for you. How do I know that? Because many Christians don't. The Bible promises all these things, and a lot of Christians don't believe it. The Bible promises healing. Healing is not something that is optional in the Bible. If you look, it's not optional in Jesus. In Jesus' walk, it wasn't optional. Healing was an absolute. But you know, a lot of Christians' minds, still today, even in this room, there are people in here that don't fully believe in God's healing ability or desire to heal. Why don't they believe that? Because they only access what they can see. They don't access anything that they can't see. And the Bible tells us that faith is not what you see. It's only what you, it's what you believe of God. It's what you expect of God. I said, it's not what you see. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Chew on that for a while. It's good, amen? The hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. That word glory here means to rejoice. We rejoice in tribulations. Why do we rejoice? How could you rejoice in tribulation? That's what you're asking. How can I rejoice in a tribulation? You can't if you don't have faith. You won't if you don't have faith. Why? Because you don't have any expectation of good. If you have tribulation and you can't rejoice, it's because you don't expect that God's going to do something good for you through it. Plain and simple, you don't trust God. We have to trust God to say, wait a minute, my God saved me. He did all this stuff to get me to this point. Is he not going to take me all the way? Will he not get me all the way through to the other side? Is Jeremiah 29:11 not true for me? Does it not apply to me? Of course it applies to you. It applies to all of us. Amen. Well, why would we rejoice in tribulations? Because we know something. Because of our expectation, we know something that the world doesn't know. Praise the Lord. I know I've quoted this before, but I'm going to go back to it again. You remember Inigo Montoya, right? You remember him from the Princess Bride, right? He was fighting the Man in Black, sword fighting, right? And he's not doing real hot, but he's holding his own. And he starts smiling. And the Man in Black says to him, he says, why are you smiling? He goes, because I know something you don't know. He goes, I know something you don't know. What did he know that he didn't know? He said, what is that? And he goes, I'm not left-handed. Whoosh, right-handed. So the Man in Black starts smiling. And he goes, why are you smiling? He goes, because I know something you don't know. He's like, what's that? He's like, I'm not left-handed either. Whoosh, and throws the sword over to him. See, when you know something that the enemy doesn't know, you got a leg up on him. But if you don't know that thing that you should know, then the enemy's got the leg up on you, doesn't he? Amen? And for a second, he was good, but then the Man in Black took over. Praise the Lord. But this is the same thing with us. We need to know, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character. I'm adding a little bit just for the understanding. And character produces hope. Hope is expectation. Amen? Now, hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, was given to us. Hope, expectation, it does not disappoint. But you got to hold on to hope until the end. And listen, I say this for you naysayers. If there's any naysayers in here, which I don't believe there is, but if there's any naysayers in here and say, how can I hold on to this? I'm just going to say, what choice do you got? Because here's the thing. If you don't hold on to hope, you have no hope. And if you have no hope, you are just where you're at. So the only way out, the only thing that I can offer you is hope, is expectation that God will actually do what he said he would do. And if you hold on to that, you will see. But if you're just going to sit there and be a naysayer and say, well, you know, I don't know about this. I don't know if it'll ever happen for me. Then you will never know. You will have just what Job had. Praise the Lord. You'll have the trial without the hope. Without the expectation. Tribulation is coming to each and every single one of us. You are not going to stop trial in your life. You are not going to stop it. The outcome, however, can be changed. And the outcome will be changed by what you expect, by what you believe. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. The word grace, I love it. I want to bring this up because I do have it written down. It means that which affords joy or that which supplies joy. That's what God's grace is. When it says he's given us grace, it's that thing which supplies joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness. Loveliness. Who wants to look at their life and say, man, this is lovely? I don't mean sarcastically. I mean saying, man, this is beautiful. That's what grace is. It's that thing which supplies that. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Proverbs 11:23 says, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. See, the wicked is simply somebody who doesn't follow after God. It doesn't mean necessarily, I mean, Hitler was wicked, but it doesn't necessarily mean that bad. People, you know, there are people out there that are golfing today instead of being in church. They're living that life instead of being in church. Those people are wicked. It's wicked. That's what the Bible says. It's wicked. It's against God. It's twisted. The word wicked means twisted. You know, it's wrong. It's not right. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Doing something else other than the thing they're supposed to be doing. That's what wicked is. That's the opposite of righteousness. Amen? Righteous is doing those things which are right in God's eyes. Amen? Those who desire the desire of the righteous is only good. It's for only good things. And so your expectation of God should only be good things. Your expectation in this life is only good things. When things don't happen your way, it doesn't matter because things are going to be good. When it does come, when this comes against me and this trial builds up against me, it doesn't matter because it's going to be good. I'm going to rest in the fact that it's going to be good. But I'm going to come back to this. I say this all the time, and yet still, this doesn't change some people. I'm just going to tell you, this is the truth. There will be people that sit in our churches that will never change. Why? Because they won't believe that they actually have a hand to play in the path that they walk out. They don't. If you continue doing what you always have done, you will continue getting what you have always gotten. That's all there is to it. If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you always got. You can't change that. Why would you think you could? Why would you think just because sitting in church and hearing some man preach and not doing anything about it would change your life? Why do you think that just doing nothing in your life to change it, but sitting there and just praying to God, why do you think that God's going to come down and change your life? What would give you the indication that God wants to come down out of heaven to somebody who doesn't want to change their ways and change their life? Why would you think God would want to do that? Why would you think that coming to me and asking me to pray for you and you not wanting to do right would change God's mind? You think I can change God's mind over your will when you won't do the thing that he's asked you to do? Absolutely not. Listen, Christians who walk right will be Christians that are blessed. Christians who do not walk right will be Christians who aren't. It's that simple. God is not just saying, well, I'm going to bless one and not the other. No, he's saying, if you do what I said to do, you'll be blessed. If you don't do what I say to do, you won't be blessed. It's that simple. It's not difficult. And yet there's people that still say, why God? Because you are still acting like a moron. If you're still doing the things you've always done, you're going to still get what you always got. It's just the way that it is. We can't stop that. Man, I don't know. That's like one of the hardest things as a preacher to preach. And it's one of the hardest things as a preacher to live. Yeah. Because you know what God reminds me of? He says, well, if you don't do it, how are they going to do it? So guess what? I got to do it. And sometimes I don't want to do it. I get snarky too, you know. Praise the Lord. There's sometimes I don't want to like people. You know, some people make it really hard to like them. Yeah, some people will give you every reason to like them. And you can be mean to people, but I can't. If I'm not nice to people, I get in trouble with God. Yeah, even people who have just dumped all over me and just called me names and all this stuff, I still have to love them back into the kingdom. Yeah, praise the Lord. We're actually all supposed to do that, but I'm just saying, you know, praise the Lord. So what is good? Praise the Lord. What is good? Good is a good thing. It's a benefit, welfare, prosperity, happiness. That's what he means there. The desire of the righteous is a good thing. What the righteous person desires? Good things. Things that benefit. Things that bring welfare. Things that bring prosperity. Things that bring happiness. That's the desire of the righteous. Yeah, not just for them. It's not just saying, well, build my own storehouse and, you know, who cares about everybody else? That's not what it's saying. Praise the Lord. Whatever brings those things are the things a good person desires, a righteous person desires. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's what they expect. Glory to God. Now, we got a few minutes here, I think, left, but I can still keep going. 1 Corinthians 9:7. And this was scripture. These were scriptures that I did not want to leave out by any means in this message. And so it's dangerous to place them at the end, but I didn't even come up with the order. So I told God, I said, God, it's dangerous for me to place them at the end, or you to place them at the end, because you know how it goes. I might get talking about something and get towards the end of the message, and I don't have enough time to get in there. But we got time. We're going to put it in. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9:7, we're going to read through verse 10. Whoever goes to war at his own expense. Whoever goes to war at his own expense. We could say it that way. Nobody, right? Would you send, if you were a nation sending people out to fight a battle that you want them to win, would you send them out at their own expense? No. Because I don't know about you, but I can't afford a missile. I can't afford those things. You know, sometimes I go to the store to buy a box of ammo, and I'm like, man, that's pretty pricey. I don't have enough to pump it just through a gun. You know what I'm saying? When I used to work in this factory, we made bearings for everything that flies, including missiles. Every one of those missiles they flew in this was back during the Iraq War, when they were launching, they did the Operation Yeah, but it was after that. It was a certain event that we did. It was like Seek and Destroy or something like that. It had some crazy name like that. And what they did is they pummeled Baghdad with missile after missile after missile after missile. Remember that when they did that with George Bush? They just sent it over and they basically just scattered parts everywhere. They just destroyed Baghdad when they did that. Each one of those missiles was like $1.4 million. Yeah. Like, if you're going to send you, I'm going to send people to war, you got to launch a missile. I wouldn't want to be the missile guy, praise the Lord. I'd want to be the guy who hands out rations, you know what I mean? I'd want to be the guy on the side, because if I got to go at my own expense, I'm not going to be able to supply many missiles, amen? Well, praise the Lord. You get what we're saying here, amen? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Do I say these things as a mere man? Or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? Bringing up a really good point. Why would you muzzle the ox that treads out the grain? It's foolish. And this was teaching, of course, the teaching was teaching them in the law, the Jews, that they had to, you know, you're not going to keep the ox from eating the grain. If he's working for you, you're going to feed him well. Listen, praise the Lord. If you're an employer, I don't know if we have probably a couple anyways, but if you're an employer, you got to think about this. This is exactly what I say. You don't muzzle the ox. You want to feed them well. Amen. That's why I always said whenever we hire somebody, we do the best that we absolutely can. Well, we take care of people the best that we absolutely can. If I have people that work for me, I take care of them the best that I absolutely can. I make sure I try to provide them lunch and things like that. I go above and beyond the things they're expected. Why? Because you're not supposed to muzzle the ox. It's a scriptural principle. Amen. But he's saying it for more than just the ox's sake. He's saying it for our sake. Does he say it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written that he who plows should plow in hope. And he who threshes in hope should be a partaker of this hope. In other words, you don't do anything without expectation. If you go to work, like I asked you before, if you go to work, you go for an expectation at the end. Well, the same thing is with God. If you're moving through this life in faith, then you need to do it in expectation. Why? Because the Bible says so. We do things in expectation. Praise the Lord. It won't be the same as it. When I started pastoring, I didn't get paid a dime for it. Amen. Now I'm pastoring two churches and get paid for one. I'm not saying that there will be time. We thresh and hope. There will be time where that will be compensated. And it's not wrong that is. It's the same thing in your life. If you're doing, sometimes if you're building a business, if anyone's built a business, they know full well that you don't start off as a millionaire in business. Amen. What do? You build up, you build up, you build up. You know, it's like people like to, you know, they talk about Donald Trump and how wealthy he is. But I'm going to tell you something. The man may have started with a bunch of money. They say he started with a million dollar loan or something like that. But listen, even if you're a bad steward of money, if I give you $1 million, you're not going to go make billions out of it. Just because you got millions doesn't make you mean you're going to make billions. Why? Because I can give you 10 and you can have it spent before the minute's out. You know what I'm saying? You can waste money just like anyone. It doesn't matter what level you get it at. But somebody doesn't increase unless they do things to increase it. Amen? Pray. But we know that when you start off that there's a process of time that you do. And there's risk involved sometimes. If you start a business, there's a risk involved in starting businesses. Amen? Praise the Lord. But you do it with the expectation that at the end it will pay out. Otherwise, you won't take the risk. Praise the Lord. You know, all these investors and stuff like this who become billionaires and millionaires, they don't get it without taking a risk. You know, people want to look down on people like that, but here's the truth of the matter. If you don't take the risk, you won't either. If they didn't take the risk, somebody has to take the risk, and they won't take it without a payout. Unless there's a, and the same thing with us. As Christians, we shouldn't be walking through this life without expectation of good, without expectation of payout. It will pay off to serve God. Why? The Bible promises us that it will. It always pays off to serve God. So whether God has you launch out in a business or whether God just has you stay in a little job that doesn't pay very much, or if God has you be a pastor, or if God sends you out here, or God sends you out there, God supply whatever he has called you to. So that's why knowing what God has called you to is so incredibly important. Because when you know what God has called you to, when you know where he's called you, even if it's just for the moment, then you can always and should have an expectation to prosper through it. When I mean prosper, don't just mean get rich. It means just you're going to live life in the fullness of God. You're going to live with heaven backing you up every single time. So if God has called me to this town, then he has put a supply here for me in this town. I don't have to go to other towns looking for it because he's planted it right here. If God has called me to this church, he's called me to this area. If he's called me to this area, I don't care how much money is in this area. He has to prosper me because I expect him according to his word, not my word. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man, praise the Lord, that he should repent. God is God, and God always backs up what God says he will back up. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When the church stopped focusing on God, it lost expectation for miracles. When the church stopped focusing on God, they lost expectation for the things that we are supposed to live in. The Bible has not changed. We are still supposed to live as Jesus lived. We should still be seeing the dead rise. We should still be seeing people who have no eyes being able to see. We should still be seeing these things. But unless the church expects God, it is not enough to want it. It is not enough to plead for it. You have to expect it. You have to believe God at his word. You say that God's word is true, whether every man says otherwise, it does not matter. Only what God says. And the Bible said that the dead will rise. The Bible said that the blind will see, that the deaf will hear. The Bible has promised this, and until the church expects it, we are not going to see the miraculous move of God. We have talked about revival in the park. We will not have revival in this town until every person who calls himself a Christian, at least in this church, is expecting it. Not just saying, oh, we want this, God. It doesn't matter if you want it. It matters if you expect it, because wanting is not faith. Everyone can want. Faith is what separates us. Faith is what says, I expect God will do it. I know God will do it because I know my God. And if you don't know your God will do it, then you don't know your God. It is time that God's people stand up and start expecting him to do exactly what he said. It is time that the people who are called the people of faith start living and acting and courting with faith. And what faith does not lay down for the devil. Faith looks at every trial as being little, because we know that our God is big, and no matter what comes before us, it can't stand. It can't stand up against us. It can't push back, because we push back against it. Why? Because we have heaven behind us. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. God wants us to do something. He wants us to move into things. But we have to expect that it's going to happen. So I ask you, friends, neighbors, co-workers, well, praise the Lord, whatever we are, brothers, sisters, wife, children, friends of children, do we trust God? Are we going to believe God? Are we going to expect God? Because when we say we believe God, we got to ask ourselves, what do we mean? And what has God been telling me so much to tell you? Trust God. Believing in God truly means that we trust God. And trusting God means that we have expectations of God. That we don't, oh, Father, if it's your will, let this person be healed. That's not expectation. That's wondering if God will actually do what he said he would do. How insulting is that to God? God, if your will, let this person be healed. God's will is that everybody be healed. I said God's will. Why doesn't it happen? Because God's will isn't automatic on the earth. And that's why so many people lose it. That's why so many people miss it. Because they believe, well, God's will's got to be automatic. It's not. We know it's not. The scripture tells us it's not. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to close with Ephesians 3:20. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able. He's able. Till now, I never saw it in this verse, but I'm going to tell you, he's able. But do we expect it? To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in him, works in us. The power works in us. Do you expect that the power is going to work? Well, I'll tell you what, you'll be faced with it. Somebody, some coworker, or some family member is going to say to you, man, I got this sickness. And you could say, you know what? I can lay hands on you and I can pray. Yeah. And my God will answer that prayer and will heal you. Yeah. See, that's expectation. Yeah. Well, saying, well, he might heal you. That's not expectation. Will he? Amen. So, folks, we got to start stepping out in these things. We got to understand who our God is. We got to believe him at his word. Amen. Yeah.